The Gillette Coon Supper, which is an annual event that's been going on for decades, is a must-do for Arkansas politicians.
This is Mike Huckabee, former presidential candidate and governor of Arkansas.
Let me just put it this way. Raccoon is not something you would order off the menu if you ever saw it and had ever had it before. But as a politician, you're obligated to at least pretend that it's pretty good, and it isn't. It's slimy, greasy, and the only way you can get it down is to douse it with sauce and swallow it quickly.
And isn't that kind of the perfect metaphor for a lot of campaign events?
I think it is. Yeah, it is.
It's election season here in the U.S. of A. You might have heard about that. Maybe there was a thing in the news on it. And today on The Sporkful, we're going to look at what happens when candidates on the campaign trail eat.
Food's the one thing that we all have to do. And so it's a way for politicians to make a connection, to convey their regularness with voters.
But eating like a regular person when you're running for president isn't easy.
I have never seen a human being eat in such a disgusting fashion.
It's awkward eating in front of the press.
They wanted you to eat in front of you, didn't they?
Of course. Because they could get a funny shot.
Everything you do can and will be used against you in a campaign.
Coming up, we'll hear behind-the-scenes stories from three former presidential candidates. I like talking to former candidates because they're the ones who tell you what they really think.
And I will never do this again because it was really stupid.
Plus, I'll talk with two former campaign staffers and a former hog farmer from Iowa named Spanky. We'll cover famous food gaffes from campaigns of the past and the present, including one that actually might have been the deciding factor in a presidential election. And we'll find out why, when it comes to eating on the trail, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump may have something in common. Stick around. From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. So right now, politicians across the country are on the campaign trail. That means they're stopping at small town diners and big fundraising dinners, county and state fairs. And as they go, they're eating. And each time they take a bite, candidates have a chance to win over voters or lose them. Here's former Arkansas governor and two-time presidential candidate Mike Huckabee.
A lot of times I'd be at some banquet and people would come up and look at my plate and say, I just wanted to see what you were eating. And it suddenly made me realize people were really paying attention.
People do pay attention to that. They get concerned if you don't go to the iconic place in their community. If you're not willing to take a bite of a big pork tenderloin, you know, then you're not one of them.
This is Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. He ran for president back in 2008, but he dropped out before any primaries or debates were held. He's also a two-term governor of Iowa, so this guy knows his way around the campaign trail.
You know, every day there are a series of missteps that can happen with food that can create problems.
And those problems can be big. For instance, back in 1976, Gerald Ford is running for president against Jimmy Carter. And Ford gets his campaign stop in Texas, and someone hands him a tamale. Seems harmless enough, right? Possibly delicious? Well, Mike Huckabee was living in Texas at the time. He still remembers what happened next.
So he took it, and he tried to eat it, but he didn't take the shuck off. So he left the shuck on the tamale. Well, every newscast in Texas all weekend long, all they did was show Gerald Ford not knowing how to eat a tamale. To this day, I am convinced that it was that gaffe with the tamale that cost him the state of Texas. Carter won Texas, and Carter won the presidency. And it may have been a tamale that did it.
Yeah, that's right. When you're eating on the campaign trail, one false bite can cost you the presidency. That's why your staff goes to such extreme lengths to plan every tiny detail of every event.
Who's the quintessential waiter or waitress that I might want to have serve the candidate? Is there going to be room to bring in about 15 members of the press?
This is Josh King. He's a former White House aide. When you hear him talk about how he plans a campaign event in a restaurant, it actually sounds like he's shooting a movie. Or, I guess, more like a commercial.
I'd love it if, ideally, the candidate will be captured in a place that just looks like they're having a natural snack or a lunch, and it doesn't seem to be this circus atmosphere that's actually has 20 people brought in to gawk.
Then comes the question that I would stress over if I was running for president. What should the candidate order? Jonathan Prince worked on both of Bill Clinton's campaigns. He says a lot depends on what the event is about, what kind of story the campaign is trying to tell.
Some of these events are about the place. The character there is the restaurant. The character there is the waitresses who have been working there for 30 years and the stories that they tell. There are other times where the food really is the character. And especially when you get into kind of regional specialties, local specialties, in those places, obviously, part of what you're looking for is to actually try out the specialty.
But regional foods can also get you into big trouble. When Mitt Romney went to Mississippi 4 years ago, he referred to the cheese grits as cheesy grits. Big mistake. Back in 2004, when John Kerry was running for president, he went to Philly and ordered a cheesesteak, asked for it with Swiss cheese, which is not one of the accepted options in Philadelphia. And Kerry was already fighting a perception that he was a fancy pants. Now, look, I know Swiss cheese ain't exactly cave-age Roquefort, but compared to the cheese whiz goop they usually put on a cheesesteak in Philly, Swiss cheese does sound kind of fancy pants.
So the thing about all these gaffes across the board, and they're food gaffes and non-food gaffes, is that they generally are damaging when they play into preconceived notions that people already have about the candidate.
It's hard.
This is former Colorado Congresswoman Pat Schroeder. She briefly ran for president back in the 80s.
We would brief presidential candidates who came in on how to eat an enchilada. So it is always important to know those little details.
Now, if you manage to survive the ordering process without screwing up and offending anyone, now you got to actually get the food into your mouth. And it was that eating part where Schroeder sometimes had trouble.
I had a plaid dress. I mean, we're talking the 70s, right? When plaid dresses were in. And I remember I was at an event where there was a lot of media, and I did have a spill. The next night, there was an event, and I didn't go to it. And I remember turning on TV, and the commentator said, Schroeder wasn't here. Her plaid dress was probably at the cleaners. And I thought, oh, my, was it really that bad?
In this election cycle, Ohio Governor John Kasich came under fire for eating with, shall we say, maybe a little too much gusto at times. Donald Trump really went after him.
I have never seen a human being eat in such a disgusting fashion. I'm always telling my young son, Barron, I'm saying, and I always with my kids, all of them, I'd say, children, small little bites, small. This guy takes a pancake and he's shoving it in his mouth. It's disgusting.
But Trump's eating habits have also come under fire. Back in 2011, he went out for a slice of pizza with Sarah Palin in New York. On The Daily Show, Jon Stewart broke down Donald's technique.
Let's just go to the content of your meeting, and then we'll just, son of a bitch! Mother, and you stack your slices, Donald? With all due respect, you stack slices of pizza, the steam from the bottom of the slice is going to make the top crust, you piece of No disrespect, I apologize. Let's continue with the meeting. Is it, are you eating it with a fork?
Now, sometimes the issue isn't the way a candidate eats at all. It's the way they cook. At the Iowa State Fair, they have this thing called the Iowa Pork Producers Tent, and it's just a must stop for candidates. It's one of those traditions. They come by the grill, flip a few pork chops for the cameras, simple photo op, right? Not so much on one fateful day in 2007 when presidential candidate Mitt Romney stopped by.
Oh, I'll never forget that. Oh, it was hot that day.
This is Dana Wonkin, but you can call him by his nickname, Spanky. He's a former hog farmer. Now he runs the grills at the Iowa Pork Tent.
Mitt was flipping chops into the pan, and a nice, great big one fell right between him and his wife. And I said, don't do it. you don't do it. Leave it. I'll get it. So he picked that sucker up and threw it back on the grill. I said, you can't do that. And I stuck my arm right in between him and her, and I jerked it off the grill. Man, that baby was hot.
Yeah.
And I threw it over in the carpet. But I couldn't. Then he mentioned that last year. You know, I dropped one time. Yeah, I remember that. Sure, I remember that.
We actually have tape of this moment, so let's really go ahead and break this down. It's a little noisy, but you hear Romney talking.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
Then he drops the pork chop.
Whoa, there goes one.
Spanky saying, leave it, leave it. Then Romney says, it's the 5-second rule. When he throws the chop back on the grill, the crowd's not happy. The headline on CNN the next day, candidates descend on Des Moines. Romney drops chop. But come on now, Spanky. If you were grilling at home and the pork chop fell on the ground for a couple seconds, wouldn't you pick it up and serve it?
Unless I just mowed the lawn, I probably would. I don't want all that grass on there.
I got to say, I'm with Spanky. But the narrative coming into that event was Mitt Romney is stiff and phony and so rich that he's out of touch and probably doesn't do his own grilling. So when he dropped the chop, everyone said, look at this stiff, rich guy trying to act like a regular person and failing. And I think that's unfair. Any regular person who does a lot of grilling sometimes drops things. And a lot of us regular people often pick them up and put them back on the grill. So if you're running for office, how do you win over voters at these food events? Coming up, we're going to find out. Mike Huckabee will tell us the one food no politician should ever eat in front of a camera. And Pat Schroeder tells us about the time that a dish she ate invaded her dreams. Stick around. I'm Dan Pashman, and I'm just a regular, authentic American like you. I eat my cheeseburgers with the cheese on the bottom, my pizza slices folded inside out, and my Oreos in a way that's so convoluted I can't explain it without pictures. I believe sparkling water isn't water. I believe a hot dog is a sandwich. And when I drop a pork chop on the ground, I pick it up and eat it. Or serve it to you, so the gravel in every bite can show you just how authentic I am. This November, when you go to the polls, vote for me. Because I'm just like you. Paid for by the Pick a Peck of Pickled Peppers pack. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC Studios. I'm Dan Pashman. Quick programming note, we're not going to release a show next week, so we can have a little extra time to work on some shows we have in the pipeline. Also, we're giving away 25 cookbooks to 25 lucky listeners who are on the Sporkful email mailing list. Get on the list at sporkful.com/newsletter. More details at the end of the show. Now, back to the campaign trail. So food can be a way for candidates to communicate how authentic and regular they are. But that's hard to do when you're in this totally bizarre environment. Cameras pointed at you, people analyzing every bite you take, everyone just hoping you screw up so that they can tweet about it. So how do you actually win votes at food events on the campaign trail? And how do you find time for a decent meal for yourself? Here again is Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, former Iowa governor and presidential candidate. He says different types of events require different strategies.
There would be the place that you'd have to go in order to be seen by people that you were trying to persuade, the opinion leaders. So it might be Mario's, for example, in Dubuque, Iowa, that serves Italian. And Mario would come out, pat you on the back, people would see you, and then a big, huge plate of spaghetti would appear, or lasagna, or something that was pretty rich. And you would, of course, be required, in order to show your worthiness, to be able to consume all of that. There's that. And then there is the buffet. The people bring their very best dish, and the full expectation is that you take a bite of everything that's on that table.
Yeah, so walk me through the strategy. You know, you're at sort of a, sounds like a community covered dish supper, potluck dinner, basically. And, you know, if you don't eat Mrs. Jones's casserole, she's going to be upset.
That's guaranteed. That is guaranteed. So you
so what
take
do you do?
You take a spoonful of everything.
I see.
And then, of course, you know, when you get to the dessert table, you might take two or three spoonfuls to show you're a regular guy. I mean, you know, there's a science to it.
I'm curious, what happens if Mrs. Jones has made something that it's just a dish you flat out
can't stand, how do you navigate that situation?
Well, in some cases, it depends on how politically connected Mrs. Jones is. If she's the committee chairwoman or the chair of the party, you, by golly, you're going to take that spoonful and you're going to like it.
Right. For former Colorado Congresswoman Pat Schroeder, there were other issues to contend with.
I think because I was a woman, people expected me to try more things, and they wanted to share the recipes with me. And the embarrassing part would be then they would ask me what some of the favorite things were that I liked to make. And so they would write and say, would you please send your favorite recipes? And I thought, well, now I can do one of two things. I can go find some fancy recipe and claim that this is something I fix for my family every night. Or I can be honest. So I would send out recipes about how to make ice cubes or how to do a Schroeder breakfast, which would be, you know, find the milk, check the spoil date, find cereal. Hopefully it's sugar coated because otherwise you're going to have to find the sugar bowl, find a bowl. And if it's on the floor, be sure and wash it because a dog's probably been in it, and then assemble. And people would say, someone on your staff is trying to sabotage you. And I say, no, they're not. I'm just trying to be very honest. I'm not sitting around making fancy dishes. Not that I wouldn't like to, but it's just, when would I have time to go shop for the ingredients and do it all?
Pat Schroeder came up with a bunch of creative solutions for these food issues back when she was in office, but she didn't implement all of them.
My dream when I was a candidate on the trail was to have a designated eater.
And what exactly would that person's role be?
They could eat everything for me while I talked. Okay. And if it was good, they could save some for the car on the way to the next place.
The designated eater, clearly just as a general matter, genius. Especially because in one day of campaigning, you might be scheduled to speak at 3 breakfast events, 3 luncheons, and 3 dinners. But each time, it's a quick speech, shake a couple hands, on to the next one.
And you may miss all of them when the food's actually served. Or you may hit all of them. You may get the salad in all of them. You may get the soup in all of them. You may get nothing in all of them. And then the same with dinner. So you never can forecast what you're going to eat during the day. But you always have to eat what's there. Or it's like you're making a comment about the food and the people.
And you don't forget those days when you're stuffed.
Oh, I remember one time when literally I had 3 chicken things at lunch, and then I went to dinner and there was chicken everywhere there. And I went home and had this dream that this giant chicken was chasing me down the street because I'd eaten its cousins. I mean, it was like, oh, I didn't mean to. And I remember another day that it was salmon, and I remember dreaming that night that I was going to grow gills.
Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate, he has a little different approach. He says it's actually okay to turn down food, as long as you're polite, and it's okay if you don't know much about someone else's food.
Be natural. If you don't understand a particular food, the locals appreciate if you say, gee, I've never eaten this before. What's the best way to do it? And have some fun, for heaven's sakes. Don't let your staff ruin this by making you all nervous. I think sometimes I watch politicians and they're so afraid that they will make a mistake that their mistake is being afraid of making a mistake.
But there are still mistakes that you got to avoid. Huckabee's actually really broken this down Sporkful style. He says there's an art to eating in a way that wins over voters.
Number one, you have to avoid looking like you're so particular and so dainty that you can't dive into a food that you need to dive into. If you're afraid of getting sauce on your sleeve, or then that looks like you're too hoity-toity, and that'll hurt you. But the other thing is if you dive into it so vigorously that it's all over your face and you look like a pig, then that too can hurt you. So you just have to be careful and remember everything you do can and will be used against you in a campaign. And I'll give an example. There is a very famous picture of Michelle Bachmann in 2012 eating a corn dog at the Iowa State Fair that was, let's just say, less than flattering. And, you know, there are certain foods that you have to be careful not only how it tastes, but how it looks.
The political strategist you heard earlier, Jonathan Prince, he's a Democrat. Mike Huckabee, Republican. But this is one issue where they totally agree.
There is no politician who ever looks good with a corn dog in their mouth.
Future leaders, I hope you're taking notes. Now, there is one other way to avoid food gaffes. Don't eat when you're campaigning. That seems to be what Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are doing. When Hillary went to a famous cheesecake place in New York, she didn't eat any cheesecake. Stephen Colbert asked her why not.
Well, it's awkward eating in front of the press.
They wanted you to eat in front of you, didn't they?
Of course. Because they could get a funny shot.
Okay.
You know, something could drop out of your mouth, it could smear your face. Right. I mean, anything that makes you look silly is...
Back in April, Hillary did eat just a little ice cream in front of the press.
I was going to take it to go, but it was, like, in front of me, and I had to start eating it.
Like, do you know the calorie count? What's the calorie count?
Oh, come on. Oh,
come on. In case you couldn't hear, a reporter asked her if she knew the calorie count of the ice cream. That's why everyone started booing. And I don't think reporters would ask that question to a man running for president. Just saying. For Hillary, though, that ice cream was the exception. Most of the time on any kind of food issue, she's still super cautious.
You know, now, you born in Chicago, yeah. Senator from New York.
Right.
Chicago-style pizza or New York-style pizza? And don't worry, you won't offend
anybody
with this answer.
No, nobody.
She refused to take a side. I talked about that choice with Josh and Jonathan, the campaign strategists. Any human who eats and has lived in both of those cities has something to say about Chicago pizza and New York pizza. And instead, she sort of laughed and said, I'm not touching that one. You know, I'm not, like, wouldn't most voters like her more if she had picked a side, whichever side it was, than the voters that she would have turned off whoever she picked against?
I totally understand where you're going with that, and I probably disagree. It's kind of like saying to her, you like the Cubs or the Yankees. There are certain questions that people know are designed to just kind of get in the middle of these difficult regional rivalries, and it's totally cool for a politician to laugh and say, hey, not going there.
Even if she hadn't taken sides, but if she had been like, well, the thing about the deep dish is I like to eat it like XYZ and I like it with these fillings and this and that. But the thing about the New York one is that it's got these things. Like if she had nerded out on them or just something, it's just like, you know.
Yes.
A fair point. Yeah.
Nerding out, it would be awesome.
Nerding out would be great.
Maybe she doesn't like pizza. I actually don't. Oddly, I don't even know the answer.
I'm giving Hillary a hard time for not taking sides. I've also lived in both cities and
Oh, yeah. So what's your side?
Well, I actually...
You can't take a side.
I don't... But not because I'm afraid to.
See, this is the classic kind of hypocrisy we see from the media. Right. They want to hold politicians to a standard. They won't hold themselves to.
That's right. No, my logic is that Chicago deep dish pizza and New York pizza are two different foods, and they're both great in their own right. But to compare them to each other is really kind of a false choice. They are too different to compare. That is my opinion, and I am someone, Jonathan, who has taken some very controversial stances, okay? If you look at my record... You will see that I have not been afraid to stand up to big interests like the hot dog is not a sandwich lobby. Okay, I got a little excited there, maybe. Let's bring it back to the people who are actually running for president. No, I have not declared. Let's bring it back to Donald Trump. His most famous food moment of the campaign so far came on Cinco de Mayo. He tweeted a photo of himself with a taco bowl in front of him, and he's giving a thumbs up. And he wrote, Happy Cinco de Mayo. The best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics. You may recall that Trump had previously said most Mexican immigrants are rapists and drug dealers. But that's nothing that can't be smoothed over with a taco bowl, right?
Pretty clever to try and demonstrate your authentic appreciation for a group of people that you disparage by using an inauthentic version of their own food on Twitter.
But interestingly, you said a picture of him eating a taco bowl. No, it didn't show him eating at all. It showed him pointing to, and it was a still photo. What we've never seen, although Trump is very quick to criticize the eating habits and eating style of a John Kasich, we have not seen, as far as I know, video of Trump actually consuming anything.
I should say there is a photo of Trump eating a pork chop on a stick at the Iowa State Fair last year. But since then, he hasn't given us a whole lot. The Washington Post did a series on what the candidates eat. They say Trump loves fast food. McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. Hillary eats a hot pepper every day. She says that's what keeps her so energetic. But neither she nor Trump eats these foods in front of us. Because to them, the benefit of looking authentic isn't worth the risk of looking imperfect. And that's too bad. I'd love to see Trump digging into a Big Mac or Hillary downing hot peppers. I'd actually like it more if they dropped something on themselves. I'd be happy to see them eat just about anything, except corn dogs. Quick note to add, we did reach out to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump's campaigns. The Clinton campaign declined to comment, and the Trump campaign did not respond to our emails. I guess neither campaign recognized the massive publicity opportunity that we had presented to them. Anyway, thanks to all my guests this week, especially Governor Mike Huckabee, Congresswoman Pat Schroeder, and Secretary Tom Vilsack. Also thanks to Spanky and to Josh King and Jonathan Prince. Josh is the author of Off Script, An Advanced Man's Guide to White House Stagecraft, Campaign Spectacle, and Political Suicide. Jonathan wrote a great piece for Lucky Peach called What Happens When Politicians Eat. We'll link to it at Sporkful.com. Please remember to sign up for the Sporkful email newsletter to be automatically entered to win one of 25 cookbooks. If you're already on the list, you're already entered. You must sign up by Wednesday, August 10th at noon Eastern. Go sign up right now at Sporkful.com/newsletter. Or text Spork News to 69866. Remember, no show next week, but we'll be back the following week. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Krista Ripple, and me. Editing help from Shoshana Gold. Engineering help from Irene Schudel, Bill O'Neill, and Chase Culpin. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Tim Serantonio from Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Cecilia Wagman from the great state of Texas.
And I'm Ben Perkins from Petaluma, California, reminding you to eat more,
eat better,
and eat more better.